There's a better place to get your podcast. GCNlive.com. Hundreds of thousands of hours. Archive for your listening pleasure. All free at GCNlive.com.
Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Were you watching those football games? Come on, even you non-football fans. Were you drawn into the playoffs over the weekend just to get away from every horrific thing that happened this past week? When we're talking about internationally, Paris, so sad. Some of the other things that we've been talking about on America Tonight. Or just to be inside, huddled around the tube because of the cold, crazy weather. My goodness, in Michigan, could they have more backups? It's unbelievable, some of what's happened there snow-wise. Well, how about this? The Packers knocked off the Cowboys 26-21. So now they're going to play for the NFC title. And the Broncos, you're going to be surprised by this. The Broncos beaten by the Colts. So take that, Jack Down Under. And so many of you that wrote to me that you were so sure that the Broncos were going to win. The Colts won 24-13, so they walk away too. Now, of course, the Saturday games, the Patriots knocked off the Ravens 35-31. That was a great game. I watched that game. I know there's a lot of people that are Patriot fans listening. The Seahawks beat the Panthers 31-17. And, you know, actually the Panthers didn't play too bad. It was really in the second half when the Seahawks started to pull away with it, and of course in the fourth quarter, 17 huge points to the Panthers, 7. So now the playoffs are set, and the reason I'm talking about this at the beginning, of course, you mean the NFC and AFC championship games, is because we've got still Nail the Score going on, and we'll have a special edition of Nail the Score in our Wednesday into Thursday show in our second hour final segment. So we know we'll just do both games. We won't even have to use our supercomputer. It's going to be Packers and the Seahawks in Seattle. They're playing on Sunday, of course, at 3:00 Eastern. And then the Colts and the Patriots, and they're playing kickoff there 6:30 Eastern. And that's in New England. So there you go. Then there were four teams, and there's just two more Nail the Scores left. Conference games, and then, of course, the Super Bowl. And then after that, we're done with Nail the Score. And remember, you don't have to be a football fan. It's like circling Keno numbers or lottery numbers or whatever. You just pick a side and tell me what you think the final score is going to be. We only do it for one segment so that we get everybody involved, that you can have fun and maybe win some prizes and bragging rights if you don't alienate everybody else who doesn't want to play. All right, over the weekend, too, there were some other things that happened. And unfortunately, the saddest thing heading into the weekend was the Charlie Hebdo, the attacks in Paris. And now you've got world leaders, of course, all chipping away and chiming in and trying to do tributes and whatnot to the people of Paris. And world leaders, including Muslim and Jewish statesmen, linked arms and walked through Paris. And it was a unprecedented kind of march to pay tribute to the victims of that attack. And wow, they say the last time they saw crowds that size to fill the streets of the capital was at the liberation of Paris from Nazi Germany. And you think about when that was, right? 1944. So you had, literally you had the president, Francois Hollande, and you had Italy, Turkey, Germany, Britain, Israel as well were there. And even the Palestinian territories moved off from the central palace ahead of a bunch of French and other flags. So, and remember, you had 17 people. Because you forget about this, 17 people, including journalists and police, that were killed in 3 days of violence that started on Wednesday with that attack on the political weekly that I mentioned, Charlie Hebdo, known for satirical attacks on Islam and other religions. I mean, so, you know, just a terrible, terrible thing. And you had silent marches throughout the country. They say over 3 million, the biggest public demonstrations ever in France. And then, you know, throughout these other small interior towns as well. And there's something to this. And it's a rare public display, I would say, of emotion, really, by some of these leaders, too, including Hollande and Angela Merkel for Germany, who just, you know, I think she was just trying to pay her respects as well. And you could see tears in her eyes. And then you have Benjamin Netanyahu, who earlier in the day was encouraging French Jews to immigrate to Israel, and Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas. They were there, and they just walked, you know, just right near each other, a few steps away from each other. And Hollande was greeting the survivors and their families. But how do you piece your life back together after that? I mean, it's just unbelievable, the videos that came out of that, and the two of the gunmen who screamed Allah Akbar and whatnot. And the fact that the sad part is that you can't go back. And unfortunately, they had guards there and knew that there was a problem, but there was no way to head it off. They were lying in wait, and they were able to get in, find out where they were, and go into that editorial meeting, which to me, I think, is just absolutely the most frightening thing about everything that happened in Paris. Just absolutely crazy. Absolutely crazy. All right. In the meantime, I talked about this a little bit, and I'm battling this as well. We've got the flu raging in the United States. I mean, it's really hitting hard. I'm a relatively healthy person, and I'm battling this too. They say one of the heavily affected states is South Carolina. The number of confirmed cases of influenza, 28,000, twice as many as there were as this time last year. So that's definitely not good. And they say 20 people have died from complications so far, 500 people in the hospital. They say the emergency rooms are just absolutely jammed. Primary care docs are seeing a lot more patients. And it's a common winter illness, but I think because, you know, the spread, and this is what happened to me, the spread is just so crazy when you're around people that have it. And, you know, young and people who are older, they're the ones who are really the increased risk from dying from the flu. But certainly there are a lot of people that are coming down with cases. There are a lot of kids that are being sent home from school, and there are a lot of people. This is like a thing that may happen at your work where somebody comes in and they're just coughing up, hacking up a lung, coughing. Not good. If you have the flu, stay home, for goodness sake, so that you don't contribute to the flu epidemic. Otherwise, try to get some of those antibiotics and maybe go to one of those docs in a box. Stay with us. I'll flip to the other side, and I'll meet you there. Of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Hi, John Huebner from Midas Resources. Are you tired of watching your hard-earned assets dwindle away? As government spending is out of hand and the Federal Reserve is creating in excess of $20 billion a week, are you tired of stockbrokers gambling away your hard-earned money? Is this market a setup for a crash greater than 1987? Too many of today's policies resemble those that led to the collapse of 1929. This is John Huebner, and that was me in 2007. And we all know what happened when the subprime credit bubble burst. By March 2009, the dollar lost 50% of its value. The entire U.S. banking system was on the verge of collapsing. Like all financial problems of the past, is history about to repeat itself? Call me, John Huebner, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 129, before it's too late to protect yourself. Will the oncoming catastrophe take all private IRAs, 401ks with it? There is a way to protect your hard-earned assets. Call me, John Huebner, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 129.
So we decided to upgrade the look of our home.
You know, improve the curb appeal.
We decided to add the look of stone to the exterior.
We really like the stacked stone look.
Yeah, but when I checked into the price, it was ridiculous. No way could we afford it.
Then a friend told me about Genstone. G-E-N-S-T-O-N-E.
Genstone comes in lightweight panels made of polyurethane. They've actually engineered the hassle out of installation. No mortar, no mesh. It was easy. Even I could do it.
We just screwed the panels to the wall and it looks like stone. I mean, it really looks like stone.
Yeah, from the box to the wall in minutes.
We love the look of our home now.
And Genstone is durable, comes with a 25-year warranty, and offers additional R-value for insulation.
If you want the look of stone at a price you can afford, call Genstone.
At 855-955-STONE.
Trust me, you'll save money.
And you'll love the look.
855-955-STONE. That's 855-955-7866.
I like to see you drive across the floor. I like to do it to you, call for more. I like to reg it, but you can't fast for me. I like to make my friends. You can name me.
So how about it? In your neighborhood, in your state, have new laws kicked in that you're just made aware of maybe in the last couple of days, or you forgot it was happening, or, you know, whatever it might be? Let me tell you about some of the new laws happening. For all of you living in Utah, cities and towns can't ban specific dog breeds within their limits. Because you know what that stems from? Pit bulls. How many of you are frightened of pit bulls? Hear the horrible stories about pit bulls eating kids, tearing people up, whatever it might be. So they've decided that, nope, whatever breed. At least 10 cities, by the way, have restrictions that ban ownership of breeds like pit bulls, which usually that's what it is. In Louisiana, police and other law enforcement types have to provide a tally of the number of untested rape kits on their shelves. The state has a giant backlog of kits that weren't tested. So if tested and added to existing databases, they think they could, of course, help capture repeat rapists and get them off the streets. So why are the kits untested? And all that has been exposed in so many stories lately in a lot of places that they just made that a law in Louisiana because it was so bad. In Michigan, check this out. State police in Michigan are going to be required to add meth makers to a national database to help end some of these practices by meth makers of jumping from state to state so that they don't get picked up. Like, obviously, this is what you do. You go in one state, then if the heat is on, you move to another state. So now they're going to be in a national database that can be looked up easily. In North Carolina, anybody there, if they're selling their homes, are going to have to disclose if the mineral rights under the property have been sold or leased to gas or oil extractors. How about that? I know a couple of people that have dealt with that, where they sold property. Of course, in certain areas in Texas, that's big. It just depends on the part of the country. In North Carolina, it's big, you know, the whole fracking thing and all of that. Because then what happens, maybe somebody listening to me has been through this. Somebody comes to your door, they knock, and let's make a deal. Will you sign this? How much can we give you for the mineral rights and all that sort of stuff? And that can be very, very big money. So now they have to disclose, does somebody else have the mineral rights, which could be catastrophic too, by the way. Can you imagine the fight over that? And then we bounced back to Louisiana. I should have mentioned this one, too, because I thought this was interesting. Anybody 16 or 17 can register to vote when they're getting their driver's license. They still won't be able to vote until after they turn 18. I'm going to register, but I can't really vote. So what's the sense of that? Okay, I'll play along. I mentioned this hoodie thing in Oklahoma. So the idea of banning hoodies or hoods isn't something that they've never heard of in Oklahoma. In fact, they banned hoods in the 20s because of the Ku Klux Klan. So they used to have the hoods banned because of that. They didn't want problems with it. They didn't want that out there. And now they're talking about if you wear a hoodie in Oklahoma, because they've got this language in these Oklahoma statutes that they've had for a long time, and they're trying to mess around with it, they could fine you $500. And, of course, there's another thing about spending a year in prison, which you think that would seems ridiculous. That would happen. But the $500 fine is pretty serious. And you think about this, and when I heard about this story, I started to think, well, you know, okay, the hoodie thing, because they're saying they can't see your face, and, you know, if you're a criminal, it's illegal to wear a hoodie. It's like, well, wait, you're a criminal, so what are you going to do, expose your face? But, okay, I'll play along. And what they're saying is, in this new proposal, it would ban anyone from intentionally concealing their identity in a public place. Right? And not just with hoods. It goes further. Robe, mask, or disguise. Right? And even if you're not involved in a crime. But there's exemptions, religious things, weather protection, safety, medical, parades, Halloween, masquerade, minstrel troupes, circuses, mascots, dramatic shows, actors, in other words. But I think it's very gray. They have this giant, broad area, and it could be misconstrued on banning hoodies. What? You know how many sweatshirts? Go in the Gap. How many sweatshirts have, like, hoods on them? Do you have any sweatshirts that have hoods? I have a ton of them. I started thinking about that. I have a Washington, D.C. hoodie, I guess. It's a hoodie. And I've thank goodness it had a hood on it, because if it didn't, I would have been frozen the last couple of days. So in Oklahoma, there's a lot of fight about this, saying that it's a violation to choose what people want to wear, and you know, as long as it's decent, it's not hurting anyone, this is ridiculous. And what if somebody has cancer, they wear hoodies? What if there's some other reason why, and how can you decide? And they're saying, well, it would deter crimes. And they're going back to the shooting of Trayvon Martin in Florida, because that set off all those protests, remember, in 2012, and the whole, you know, wearing the hoodies thing. But people wear hoodies. I mean, they wear hoodies. I think it's crazy. It's a gray area, tough to enforce. I mean, tough to enforce a $500 fine. And who are they going to enforce this on? I mean, everybody. So they'll go up to the woman who comes out of the cancer center and has a hood up. I mean, and seriously, like, no joke, I have seen that. I mean, I've seen it with my own eyes. People that have struggled with cancer, they have light jackets on, they have hoods because they've gone through chemotherapy or whatever it is. So that's not just like a flippant remark, because some people in Oklahoma have said that. It's not just saying that. It's nutty. And it'd be tough for police officers. For goodness sake, do they have enough of a hard time in, you know, dealing with what they have to deal with day in and day out? Now they're going to try to enforce some cockamamie hoodie ban. I mean, of course it conceals your face. Of course a robber could do that. And, yeah, wouldn't it be great if they had their face completely exposed so you could have an artist rendering and you could pop their face all over the tube, and because you could really get it just in case they put the hood up. Surely you could say that, and you could point to, well, look what happened there, and we don't want to have a misidentification again. But that goes to the ridiculous end of things. Of all the different laws that I mentioned, and there's many more, that seems ridiculous. I mean, that's just overboard and silly and a waste of time. And see, then you get into that area again. So are you going after all people? Oh, is it just equal opportunity hoodie action? So anybody who's got that hoodie up, I'm a police officer. Does that mean I have got to issue you a fine? I got to cruise the Walmart parking lot. I got to cruise the Kroger's. I got to go around to these restaurants. Think of the weather in Oklahoma. Sorry, it's hoodie weather. My nephew's 13. He wears the coats that are exactly like that with hoods on it. I mentioned I realized for the purpose of this show, I went through my wardrobe. And as exciting as that was, I came up with 5 sweatshirts with hoods on them. All different colors, different things, whatever. But they were jackets, you know, jackets, sweatshirt jackets that had hoods on the back of them. And, you know, then they're saying rain gear and this exception. I think it would make it tough. I mean, why do you make it tougher for police officers to enforce certain laws? And then what is it? I always wondered, it's kind of like tickets. If nobody ever issued any tickets, when they have their morning roll call, wouldn't the sergeant say, hey, is everybody, everybody's driving the speed limit? Nobody has overshot the speed limit. We have no tickets for 4 weeks, for 5 weeks, for 6 weeks. So they'd start to ask about the hoodies. Anybody wearing hoodies out there? Issuing any fines? And I would hate to be a cop and have to put that, add that to the menu of what I have to start looking for. And then people would jump on you if you were, are you targeting certain people? Are you targeting certain areas? You know, what, you know, who are you going after with this? So what do you think? I don't know. Maybe it's, am I wrong? Is this the right way to go because of some things that have happened in the past? Should we just ban all hoodies? 855-266-5283. You can flip me an email, americatonight.net. In fact, we're going to check the mailbag next. A lot of you sent me plenty of emails over the holidays, and you had a lot to say about some upcoming things and whatnot, so we'll get to the mailbag next on ATN.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
GCN. Proudly sponsored by UnseenNow.com. Find out how to stop Big Brother in his tracks at UnseenNow.com. This is GCN.
What good is a Big Berkey water filter?
We get that question a lot here at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And in a word, the answer is protection. Protection from water main breaks, E. coli contamination, environmental chemical spills, pesticide runoff, chlorine taste and smell, and all forms of fluoride. Plus, Big Berkey water filters are the original gravity water filter system and most trusted on the market for a reason. Tested by multiple independent NSF EPA certified labs, they are the gold standard in water purification. At only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. That means big savings. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get a Big Berkey today at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit our website or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
On Facebook, on the news, and in conversations with friends, we're bombarded every day with advice on how to be healthier, from gluten-free and non-GMO diets to how much exercise and sleep the body needs. But how much have you heard about alkalizing the body? AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are a holistic and natural way to get your body's pH levels back in balance. Just a few drops in water will help your body rid itself of harmful waste. And even the healthiest of diets can be complemented with your daily use of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Who isn't looking for more vibrant, vigor, and energy? Now buy two bottles of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops and get $10 off your order. Visit AlkaVision.com or call 800-518-7615. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are packed with a powerful combination of the most alkaline minerals and compounds. Open the door to greater health, vitality, and zest for life. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health. Call 800-518-7615 or head to AlkaVision.com.
You pick up the receiver. With your heart racing and sweat dripping from your forehead, you finally muster the courage to dial the number to call into your favorite talk radio show. It rings once, twice, and then...
Hello, it's GCN. What's your name and the state you're calling from?
Surprised you got through, you squeak out.
Jason from Minnesota.
Please hold.
As you patiently wait for your turn, you begin to daydream about being a famous talk radio host and what it would be like to have your own show.
Jason from Minnesota, you're up.
Millions of loyal listeners worldwide waiting to call and talk to you.
Caller, are you there?
Cheering crowds surround you, calling out your name.
Jason! Going once, twice. Okay, we gotta move on to the next caller.
You blew it.
Huh? Wait, no!
Interact with the host you're listening to right now online at GCNlive.com. Click on the community link. Engage with other listeners. Ask questions. Start debates. Don't agree with the host? Let them know. Be a part of the community at GCNlive.com.
Coming up in just a minute, we're going to go check the mail. First check, 2015. But before we do that, a quick reminder about a couple of things coming up this week. One, on tomorrow's show, we're going to talk with Russell Hannon. He is this travel dude that I met in New York that's really, he's got this guide about traveling more and spending less. And he has, you know, I love these tip people where he knows things that you can take advantage of, right? How you can get around the baggage fees, how you get around the internet fees. Isn't it ridiculous? You go to a hotel and then they charge you for internet fees. You know, how you don't get nickel and dimed on the ATM situation, blah, blah, blah. What are the best ways to get the best hotels? Just anything, anything you can imagine about traveling. And, I mean, seriously, he's been everywhere. So I was pretty impressed because he knows how to do it. He knows how to go around the world on, you know, 50 cents in his pocket. So I think you'll love him. Anyway, we're chatting with him tomorrow. And also, hopefully this week we get a chance to catch up with our pal Greg Stevin, one of the editors of Men's Health Magazine, because he is at CES, the big convention that they have in Las Vegas, where, I mean, anything to do with technology, like mind-blowing stuff, the consumer electronics show. It's been around for a long time. It's the huge international thing. I mean, I don't even know how many people descend on Vegas for this thing. I just know it's ginormous. Ginormous. I mean, there's no other word to describe it. It's just that big, and he's going to be there for all these things that are happening in the industry. So anyway, we'll talk to him about that. They have a lot of people, iconic people, end up showing up there. You know, television stars, movie stars, but the stars of the show, I think, really are the innovation, the things that are happening that just, like, blow your mind. The things that you see on this showroom floor, the exhibits that you just can't believe what you're seeing. You know, like, you know, iPhones, all that kind of stuff. Of course, all of that was part of CES at some point. At some point, you saw that there. You saw this amazing technology that was released. And anyway, we'll talk to Greg Stevin about that. So on that note, let's head to the mailbag.
You have mail, mistress.
Thank you very much. Our first note comes from Ryan. Ryan, listening to us in Sarasota, Florida. Hey, Kate, I've heard you say a couple of different times that you're going to come down to Sarasota. We're holding it to you. A bunch of us have started to listen to the show. Rock on, girl. I hope you come down here for the big rowing championships. I heard you also briefly mention that. I'm assuming that's probably when you're going to do it. I have to tell you, here in Florida, we've had some wild, wicked weather. I mean, usually pretty calm, but, you know, we occasionally get our spikes, too. People don't necessarily look to Florida for cold weather, and when it's cold here, it's not a good deal because of the citrus. And as you know from mentioning your family, the orange groves, etc., a lot of them will freeze over, which means for everybody listening to the show and other hamlets, you can pay more when you get our produce. So it's not a good thing for anyone all the way around. I will report to you, though, that lately it has been very nice in the state of Florida. We had a great Christmas and Hanukkah and New Year's, mostly in the 60s and the 70s, pretty sunny skies. And I hope that we see you soon in Sarasota. Yeah, we're trying to make the arrangements for that, so I'll keep everyone posted of when I'm coming into Sarasota. And I am aware of those great temperatures, family in Tampa and family and friends in Sarasota, and it has been nice there. And it is true. I've actually been in Florida when they had a weird cold run, and I've seen the trees trying to cover different produce because of the orange growth. Things freeze. It's bad. You see ice on the trees and stuff, and then that means, you know, we get oranges in the United States from all over the place, but some people could be paying a lot for those oranges and for those grapefruit, etc., if you have too many days that are freezing. Here's one from Typo. Oh, I love that. That's a great nickname. Typo says, Kate, longtime listener, never called, but I decided I was going to send you an email. Isn't that a play on what people say on radio shows across America? I thought I'd throw that in. I don't know if you saw this or not, because I know you're a big movie person, and you talk about movies and going to movies. Did you know that Sylvester Stallone is doing another Rambo, and he says it's going to be his last Rambo? What do you think of that? I think he is the king of squeezing every dollar out of these characters, like Rocky Balboa went to 7. Now Rambo is going to 5, and I did hear about Rambo. It's called Rambo Last Blood is the name of the movie, and it's, I guess he is going to be like it's going to have something to do with an FBI informant, and it's going to be a whole gangster thing and whatnot. You know what's wild? If you think about Rambo, and like I say, I mean, good for Stallone, right? Because I believe in capitalism, and capitalism for actors counts too, right? You can't just discriminate. So, 82 was when the first Rambo was. And Rambo's a Vietnam vet. Remember, that's who the character is. And the first Rambo was really, I don't know, I didn't really want to see it. And then when I saw it, I thought it was, I mean, I saw it years later. I thought it was really good. I really liked Rambo. But I don't know, five? That just seems, it just sounds, you know, these whole sequels. Sometimes you get too many sequels, you know. What about doing just two and capping it at two? But it is a money machine. So if it's a money machine, it's like, you know, I think of like the Rolling Stones, who I like. I like rock music. I like new music. But why do bands that have peaked a long time ago, and you hear their songs a zillion times if you're listening to the radio or whatever, or iTunes, they go back out on tour, and I always think it's like an ATM that spits giant money. So why wouldn't you do it? So if you're them and so you get a call, hey, what do you think, Ronnie? Should we go back out again? Do we need to go on tour? Yeah, sounds good to me. Let's do it. And it's probably the same thing. Look, it's formula kind of movie. It's worked. We know we have an audience for it, and we'll get our money back on this. So you need money. The studio is going to high-five it. You're going to get, if somebody will back it, because it's all about getting people to back it. It's the producers, and voila, there you go. And here's one from Hare, who's listening to us in Texas, and he says, Kate, here we go again with Ebola. I know that you said last week it was the top story of 2014, and I have to say, I agree with you. Do you know that there's somebody else that's been exposed to Ebola and they're going to Nebraska? I do. It was another American healthcare worker, but this time they were in Sierra Leone, and they had what they're calling a high-risk exposure. So what do? Ship them to Nebraska. You got four places in the United States, and Nebraska ends up getting a lot of the people. So not contagious. They say he's not ill, not contagious, but exposed. So we're not taking any risk with this. We're going to take the precautions. And there's only, like I said, four places in the U.S. where you have biocontainment units. And in Nebraska, they've been practicing for a long time to treat this. And that's why they're incredibly successful. You know, the other one is Emory in Atlanta. You've got the Rocky Mountain Laboratories. Not very many people are talking about them. In Montana, the National Institutes of Health, of course, in Maryland is another place for this. And I mentioned Nebraska. This is why Ebola was so big, when people were so worried about Ebola, because we don't have places to transport people. We don't have enough hospitals that are ready to roll with this thing. In 2014, 7,500 people died from Ebola. And, of course, most of them were in West Africa, in Liberia, Sierra Leone, and Guinea. But in the United States, we had 10 patients with Ebola. And, of course, it's dire in West Africa, but we don't want an outbreak of Ebola here in the United States. An outbreak is an outbreak, and then trying to treat it would be unbelievably difficult, to say the least. All right, how about this one from Martin, listening to us in Washington? And Martin says, Kate, I know you're a big sports fan, and I have to say, I love the fact that we're going to actually see a national title game. I think it's going to make a big difference in college football. I guarantee a lot of people will be watching it. I think they need to add more games to it, but I like the two semifinal games and the fact that you have Oregon in the mix here playing Ohio State. I like it, and I think a lot of people will be watching in the next week when this comes back around. Well, I think there's going to be an audience for it, but there always is an audience for the national game, or for this national game, for the first college football playoff, but for some of these big bowl games. And I was surprised that Nick Saban in Alabama wasn't there, but Marcus Mariota, you got to give him credit. He was the Heisman winner. He's the Ducks quarterback. I watched a big chunk of those two semifinal games, and good for them. And Ohio State, the four teams that finished in the end are the four teams that I would have said, except for, you know, TCU. They felt like they got ripped off, and TCU did have a good season, but this, you know, there was a 12 committee panel, and in and out of the top, what happened there, they finished sixth. So the four, I don't think you can argue with the four that were left standing, but I think they'll add more games to that for sure. Hang with us.
The knowledge of the ancients, tried and true, trusted herbs and extracts, fused with the latest nutraceutical science. Introducing the all-new Ancient Defense Herbal Immunity Blend, crafted with over 14 key ancient herbs and extracts to supercharge and prepare your body for what experts admit is the most dangerous season of the year. We have rejected hundreds of other formulations in our quest to bring you what is simply the most powerful and comprehensive proprietary formula that we have ever created in the realm of herbal immunity. For the last 2 years, our team has been working with top doctors, nutritionists, and chemists to develop the ultimate nutraceutical formulation. Experience the benefits of combining over 14 ancient herbs and extracts with exciting new advances in nutraceutical science. Now is the time to secure Ancient Defense for you and your family. Visit AncientDefense.com or call 888-253-3139. That's AncientDefense.com.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. If you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
Time and time again.
You need to come here and help us. We need assistance. Please.
Those we should be able to depend on let us down.
Federal and state and local officials saying help is on the way. Well, the folks here in Bell Harbor say show me.
Don't depend on the government to save you. Take action now so that you're prepared for the next disaster. With MyPatriotSupply.com. Get the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Call 866-229-0927.
We are hurting down here, and we need help immediately.
Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Flacco, the throw, pressure comes, steps away. Now he reverses his field, goes back to the left, throws back left corner of the end zone. It is caught. It is Torrey Smith, and it's a touchdown.
That's complete.
Baltimore leads it 19-9 as Joe Flacco buys time and finds Torrey Smith for six.
Here is Seamus tight right. Newton in the gun with Fozzie Whitaker to his right. Newton takes a snap. Screen right side Whitaker. 45. Cuts back left at the 40. A little bit of room. 35. To the 30. Left side 25. 20. Sideline to the 15. 10. 5. Touchdown Carolina. Fozzie Whitaker goes 39 yards. On the screen. Went right. Broke it back against the grade for six. Lindley, big, play fake, on a throw, intercepted! He tried to get it to Larry Fitzgerald, loose Keekley with the pick, what a terrible throw!
Second and 10, Luck steps up, in trouble, Luck throwing on the move, end zone!
Oh, it's caught! Dante Moncrief, over the shoulder grab for the touchdown! How did Andrew Luck do it? Magic! Indianapolis extends the lead as Luck extends the play.
Two receivers off to the left, two to the right. Dalton, look out.
Dalton hits from the blind side. Ball is free. Knocked around.
Both teams trying to jump on it. The Colts have it. wide. Shotgun snap to Romo. Cocks his right arm. Looks right. Looks left. Backpedal steps. Now he's being chased. Steps and fires a pass. Caught for the touchdown. A chest high catch in the back of the end zone. Underneath the crossbar. Grabbed by Terrence Williams. And the Cowboys have taken the lead with 2.5 to go. On third and goal of the eighth. In the gun, Stafford. He looks left. Bites his hand. He points right. Steps. Shotgun snap. Steps in the pocket. Good block by the left. Tackle is taken down. The ball is free. It's recovered on a fumble. It's recovered on the play by DeMarcus Lawrence. The Cowboys have just recovered a fumble by Detroit quarterback Matthew Stafford.
All right, there you go. Boy, oh boy, what a wild card weekend it turned out to be. Thanks to our pals from Westwood One for that audio. And to Matt Johnson, terrific job in looping that all together. And Matt, as you know, the Cowboys with that win, 24-20 over the Lions, there was a controversial call. It happened with 8:25 left in the game. A Cowboys rookie linebacker Anthony Hitchens was flagged for pass interference. He was defending Lions tight end Brandon Pettigrew on a third and one from the Dallas 46. So you imagine that time in the game, 8:25. The referee, Pete Morelli, announced the penalty. It would have given the Lions a first down. But then, all of a sudden, a few moments later, changed the call to no penalty. The Lions lined up on a fourth down, but they tried to draw the Cowboys offside, of course. That failed, and then they had a punt away. So the Cowboys ended up scoring the game-winning points on the very next drive, which looked at what the clock would be at. And the back judge threw his flag for defensive pass interference, is what they said in the report. They said they got information from another official from a different angle that thought the contact was minimal and didn't warrant pass interference. They thought it was, you know, face guarding. Ugh. So I think it was a blown call, to be sure. The first call was the right call. The second call was wrong. And now this also becomes part of what happens after the game. You know, the Cowboys owner was asked about it. Jerry Jones, he said he was pleased with the decision, but said he would be in favor of expanding replay rules to include pass interference, which has always been a bone of contention for fans, players, and a lot of other people. So what do you think? Who do you give to the edge to there? Would that have made a huge difference in that Cowboys-Detroit outcome?
I don't know. I mean, it probably played a role, but if you look at it going forward from that, it's still fourth and one. I feel like they should have just went for it because they're still around the 50-yard line, and the whole reason the Cowboys had good field position afterwards was the punter had like a 15-yard punt. He shanked it. And I think at that point in the game, you have 1 yard to go. I don't know. I'm always in favor of going for it in that position. And, I mean, your defense has been playing pretty well anyways. And so if they get the ball at the 50, you know, put it on your defense to shut it down. But just have the confidence in your offense to go get that extra yard. I think that's what I would have went through. But it was just a sloppy game overall. I feel like no one wanted to win this game.
Yeah, I agree with you. It was really kind of sloppy, absolutely. But also the fact that there still was more time, the way the Cowboys worked it, as you mentioned, the shank punt was ridiculous, 10 yards. So the Lions lost it. I mean, the Lions blew it. They were piling on a lot more in the beginning, taking advantage of Cowboy mistakes. Tony Romo was sacked 6 times, and then they came out in the second half, and they didn't play as well as they should have on a couple of opportunities. And so then it comes down to the fact that, you know, hey, you got a couple of pivotal controversial plays, by the way, not just that one. There were a few that were kind of controversial, I think, and if you looked at the whole game. So you got a little on both sides anyway, and that's the game. That's the game. So you got a bad call. You got to move on from that. And I agree, they should have gone for it. Fourth and one, absolutely. And that was a huge mistake.
Yeah, I think for all the Cowboys fans that are, you know, super happy their team's advancing and everything, wait until next week and they got to go up to the frigid Lambeau Field and see how their defense holds up against Aaron Rodgers, because I don't see the Cowboys being able to beat the Packers in Lambeau Field.
Yeah, they were perfect on the road this year, 8-0, but it's a whole different story when you go to Lambeau, that's for sure. You know, the Green Bay Packers usually score 20 extra points in Lambeau when they're playing there. And you see with the kind of season that Aaron Rodgers is having, he's like the rubber band man. He keeps bouncing back. But if you look at it, and Romo has interceptions or they're sacking him, forget about it. Up there in the unfriendly confines of Cheesehead territory, no way. So now you have the Ravens and the Patriots. You have the Panthers and the Seahawks. You have the Cowboys and the Packers. You have the Colts and the Broncos. So your big favorites are, Matt, obviously the Broncos, the Packers, the Seahawks, and the Patriots. Do you think any of those teams can go down or will go down?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think every game is a pretty good matchup just based on, you know, storylines where you have Tony Romo born in Wisconsin going up against the Packers, and then, you know, the Ice Bowl, the replay of that. Then you have Manning versus his old team, and then the protege that took his job in Andrew Luck. Then you have Baltimore, New England, who have, I feel like they play each other in the playoffs every single year, it seems like, and they just battle back and forth. And then you have Carolina and Seattle, the two up-and-coming kind of running quarterbacks that changed the game a little bit with their rushing. So I think it's good storylines all around.
Yeah, I think it's good storylines all the way around, too. I think this is an exciting way to end the season, and we're definitely going to still do the nail the score thing. We'll see who's left standing at the end of this when it's all said and done. Don't forget Wednesday and Thursday, our second hour, last segment of the second hour, final hour of the second hour. You don't have to know anything about football. It's like playing Keno, as I like to say, or bingo. You're picking numbers, or lottery for that matter. You pick a team once the team's announced, and you tell me what you think the final score is going to be. You know, and one quick other sports note here, and because Matt is a big hockey head, the Philadelphia Flyers were fined an undisclosed amount of money for violating what they call the collective bargaining agreement by traveling during a holiday break. They looked at the records, and it showed that the Flyers took a flight from Philly to Nashville the night of December 26th, but players aren't allowed to travel or practice from December 24th to 26th under their collective bargaining agreement. It was added so they would have the extra day off during the holidays so that the team scheduled for games on the 27th would have the same game day travel, but the Flyers didn't care. So the Flyers general manager, I love this, Ron Hextall, said, "Yeah, we get the fine. That's good. That's okay." Because the players said they wanted to travel the day before. They didn't want to go the day of the game. So they decided, yeah, we're just going to break it. So the Flyers played in Nashville, and they lost 4-1. So that extra day didn't help them very much. Oh, well, come see, come saw. Any thoughts on the show, you can send them to theamericatonight.net.
See me, sir?
Well, I did, but now that I do, I'm not so sure.
Sir?
Johnson, I got a mission for you that could change your life.
Oh, good, sir.
It involves traveling halfway around the world without so much as half a clue of where you're going or what you're going to do when you get there.
Situation normal, sir?
Uh-huh. But I'll be leading this mission, Johnson, so I'll be telling you what to do.
You, sir?
That's right, Johnson, and I say first things first.
Oh, good plan, sir.
And what I say is first is food. Always remember that, Johnson. Food is a big deal.
Sir, my brother-in-law can get us a really good deal on some surplus MREs.
Johnson, if you've got half a brain and that empty head of yours, you'll call the freeze-dry guy like I did. That food is better for you, it rehydrates faster, and it's good, Johnson. And it keeps for up to 30 years.
Will we be gone that long, sir?
I hope not. Now, get your supplies organized and meet me down to the pier at dawn on Sunday. We sail at sunrise.
Yes, sir.
This adventure is brought to you by the freeze-dry guy.
call 866-404-3663 or visit freezedryguy.com.